welcome to the Manifest with Mini weekly family meeting, aka the podcast. If you have ever worried, why do I keep doubting myself, even though I know deep down I am made for big things, you are not alone. Every week I'm blending the practical and the spiritual, the masculine and the feminine, so that you can manifest your life and business of complete freedom. So for all my bougie spiritual souls out there, you are exactly where you need to be right now. Hello, so today we do have a guest and I'm excited to have this explorative conversation with one of my besties, Hannah, and we kind of wanted to just come on here to talk about our experiences on a conversation that kind of comes up quite a lot for us on something which I think is, I haven't heard talked about that much, but I think could be really helpful for people as well to shine some more light on. And that is how being neurodivergent affects your manifestation process and your spirituality. Any kind of strengths that we can play into and that can be really helpful for you, any adjustments that have been helpful for us, and maybe any weaknesses that we've experienced. And I think it's just going to be really interesting for us to dive into. So Hannah, would you like to introduce yourself and just let everyone know kind of like what your thoughts were of coming into this podcast and how, what is your experience as a neurodivergent person?
Sure. Hi.
That's a very big question.
Very big question, yeah. So the primary thing that I do is I am a performer, a singer, but it's taken me quite a while to be able to manifest living an income off of that. And I think that neurodivergency does play a part in that. I think the biggest thing, the biggest struggle for myself for the longest time was a lack of self-belief, and the fear of judgment from other people. And I actually only got diagnosed in the last 7 months. And then it kind of changed everything for me in terms of realizing all the reason that certain things have been holding me back. Even things like being able to focus, it takes me a little bit longer to get into a meditation, for example. So yeah, there are a couple of challenges definitely that I have faced, and the diagnosis has really helped me to be able to connect with myself a little bit more.
That's really interesting. So just for clarity, you were diagnosed with ADHD, right?
Yes, with ADHD.
With ADHD. And so I wanted to share, so I've got like a few just different definitions or facts and things that I was just researching before this that I thought would be interesting. So just so we have clarity moving forward, the definition that I found for the word neurodiverse was differing in mental or neurological function for what is considered typical, frequently used with reference to autistic spectrum disorders. And then on the other side of that, neurotypical, the definition for that would be a person whose strengths and challenges are not affected by any kind of difference in the way that their brains work. So obviously the term neurodivergent is very diverse and can obviously encapsulate a lot of different things, from ADHD, autism, mental health issues, social anxiety, Tourette's, dyslexia, and all these different things, where it's basically like the brain is just working a little bit differently. And I think there's obviously so many people who don't have diagnoses, don't know how to say that word, but who really resonate with the neurodivergent experience. And obviously with TikTok and social media, I think that's kind of the labels and things like that are becoming a lot more like known and accessible to people. So I wanted to ask you that because you said that the diagnosis has been really helpful for you. And I think that a lot of times as well within the spiritual community, there's like some debates about like, okay, well, should we put like this medical label on this? Or is this just like, you know, we're all just unique beings. So why do you feel that like having that quote unquote label, that like medical definition of the diagnosis was helpful for you?
It was helpful for me because it gave me a whole new understanding of who I was as a person. So knowing that it's too overwhelming for me to take on a massive task and complete that task in one day means mm-hmm. that I can now schedule my time to take up shorter amounts of time per task. So instead of spending an entire day trying to do something that's too much for me, I just take 20 minutes or I take an hour. And then I move on to another task, or I take short breaks in the middle, which means I tend to get a lot more things done. I never used to really like structure very much. So in terms of things like journaling, if I know I have to journal every single night, I'm not going to journal every single night. Whereas now I know why. I know because it was too much of a pressure for me to do it. Now I journal much more often. For example,
that kind of like feeling of like, oh, it makes sense, or like, oh, I'm not the only one who has that, or like, oh, here's like a website or a leaflet or a TikTok which can tell me how to, like, other options to deal with this thing which I've always had but I didn't know how to articulate. So it kind of helps you to put words to things sometimes, I think, which is why labels can be useful for us. And then also as well, I think that connection is just really important for all of us. And so obviously if you have a certain diagnosis or label, you can obviously connect to other people who share that aspect of themselves as well. And so you can, you know, find more people that are able to understand you better, I think.
Yeah, I completely agree. For me, I didn't seek a diagnosis with the intention of getting medication or with the intention of any of those kind of things, because I know that some people with spiritual practice might think that medication is something that may alter you, for example. I did it again for the journey of self-discovery. When I found out, I cried for 3 days straight with pure relief, just understanding that there was a reason that I was different. There was a reason that I felt the way I felt. And the main reason that it's helped my spiritual practice is because I now am able to build in that self-belief. I'm able to build in, okay, there's a reason that you feel like a failure today. And I was having all of these consistent negative thoughts and consistently feeling like I was in a negative place. And that didn't help my spiritual practice in any way, shape or form. And the amount that my life has changed since having that diagnosis in the last 6 months, it's phenomenal. And that's all because I was able to understand myself and then give myself more patience, which has led myself to change in my mindset overall.
I think that that's like amazing tips that anyone can take on, whether you have a diagnosis or you don't right now. Like what I was hearing from what you were saying is needing to understand yourself. So getting to know, okay, do I like structure? Do I not like structure? What works for me? What doesn't work for me? And working with the way that your brain works rather than trying to force yourself into how you maybe think it should be. And then accepting as well, like accepting how that is and giving yourself patience for however that is, without again feeling like you should be any other type of way or you should be functioning a certain way.
Yeah, and just in general in society, neurotypical people don't function the way that society wants us to function. So it's just an overall overriding help for myself personally to just know that there are reasons that I feel like this, there are reasons that I act like this. And now I can work towards making my life a million times better for myself.
Yeah, I think that neurodivergence for me is really connected to spirituality because I see it as the most people that I know that are very spiritual, a lot of entrepreneurs, a lot of people who are very creative, people who are really expanding the universe, I guess, are like would be considered neurodivergent if they were alive today, or they are neurodivergent, you know. Famous entrepreneurs with ADHD include Richard Branson, Charles Schwab, Tim Ferriss, and you know, there's tons of like historical important people and artists and all of these things that did really groundbreaking and expansive things that if you were thinking in a typical way, I don't think you would be able to do. And so I think that it's really linked into me. And I hate to use this word, but there is the whole kind of TikTok trend about non-player characters. Is that the right word? Yeah, non-player characters as being like normal people who live inside the matrix and are able to survive inside the matrix. And then the spiritual people, the quote unquote spiritual people or the awake people or whatever, that are not able to fit into that system and that matrix. And, you know, I think that for me, like I haven't fully put this thesis together, but I think it's very related to neurodivergence.
Yeah, 100%. I used to always think I was so weird because I would say or feel things like even around certain people. I guess this is part spiritual, part, you know, neurodivergence, just feeling certain things around people. Someone's energy changes, you can feel it immediately, all of that kind of thing. And again, like tying that into the spiritual practice, I used to think that meant they don't like me, they hate me, the rejection sensitivity would kick in. Whereas now I'm like, okay, this person, their energy has changed because they feel a certain way because of things that are going on in the world, things that are going on in their world, you know? So yeah, going off topic, that's the neurodivergence.
Neurodivergency in action. Well, yeah, I feel like, so something else which I came across was like an analysis of how the movie Divergent is actually a reference to neurodivergency. So if you basically want a dramatized version of what I was just saying, you can watch the movie Divergent if you haven't watched it. And in that movie, you know, the leaders of the society want to put people into certain boxes in order to fulfill certain work roles. So you're like the lawyer, or you are the helpers of the society. And there are these divergent people who didn't fit into any of those boxes. And so they were considered a threat to the system. They were not easily able to be controlled. And I think that the thing is, a lot of times what is objectively a superpower, when you look at it from like a zoomed out perspective or from a spiritual perspective, you see it as a superpower in our society, can really feel or be experienced as like a weakness or like a disability. And like, as you said, that feeling of like, you should be a different way, or there's something wrong with you. So I think that what's really powerful in like claiming just however your brain works and whoever you are is accepting that and like stepping into the power of it and being like, this is who I am. And like every single kryptonite can be a superpower and is your superpower. Like usually the things that are gonna make you most special are the things that you're most insecure about.
Yeah, again, completely agree. There are things that I can do that people will say to me often, well, I wish I could do that many things. How do you manage so many tasks? How do you do so many things? How do you have so many friends, be in so many places all at the same time? So it absolutely is a superpower. And I think that's why there are so many entrepreneurs that are neurodivergent, because you're able to juggle so many tasks. If someone changes the subject, it's hell on earth.
Yeah, exactly. So neurodiverse people tend to have more right brain thinking, so there's a lot of possible strengths that come into that, like, you know, creativity, being more sensitive or empathetic, so you're able to connect and understand and be compassionate towards other and others on like an even deeper level. And then there's a whole array of different strengths depending on, because every neurodiverse brain is obviously completely different. So some people are able to mentally picture objects in their head in a way that other people would never be able to experience, see a wider variety of colors, be able to solve complex mathematical calculations in their head, and all of these other different superpowers. So there's so much strengths to lean into. I think that the like kind of linking into the universal laws, we have this like law of polarity, and we have this like constant balance that's happening in the universe. And I've really noticed that there's always like a balance point happening. So it's like forever how high your strengths are, that's how low your low points are. And so I think that that's why some people are just kind of existing around the midpoint, where they have kind of semi-high highs or semi-high strengths and semi-low lows and, semi-difficult weaknesses. And a lot of times the neurodiverse people are just taking up more space on that spectrum of having like these super specific or amazing strengths and super high highs and like this amazing ability to like experience these like emotions and these emotional depths and this spiritual connectivity or like feeling of connection with the universe to like a really high level. And so universally, life can't be too easy. There is that like balance point of where then the dark moments are darker, the low moments are lower, the struggles are struggling,
Yeah, that is something that I have massively struggled with myself as well. And again, it links back to what I was saying about the self-acceptance. So pre-diagnosis, or even just after as well, when those low lows would hit, and they were, well, you were on the phone to me for a lot of the times. When those low lows would hit, that would be it for weeks, absolutely written off. I'm not doing anything, because I just feel like everything's completely falling apart around me. And it sounds very dramatic. And sometimes when you talk to a neurotypical person, that's what they do think. They say you're just being dramatic, but it literally feels like the world is falling apart. And then, but now I can take a second to say, okay, this is one of those moments when I'm feeling this way. Let's take time to feel the emotions. Let's take time to write it down, to let it all happen, acknowledge what you're feeling, why you're feeling it. And then 2, 3 hours later, or sometimes if it's particularly bad, the next day, I'm absolutely fine and the highs are back again. And that without that diagnosis, that wouldn't have been able to happen. And again, that is due to spiritual practice, because I feel if I wasn't in touch with my spiritual practice, I never would take the time to consider, why am I feeling this way? I never would be able to make those two connections. I would just be, I don't want to say the wrong thing, but blaming everything on ADHD. Instead of blaming it, I'm taking the time to acknowledge and then move on in the best way to get things done, and carry on building myself.
I think that's a great point. I want to have like three different questions from that really insightful piece of knowledge you just shared with us. But the spiritual piece alongside the diagnosis, I think, helps you to remember that everything is still your responsibility, which means that you're not like a victim to like this diagnosis. And that is totally not, I think, like sometimes that sounds inconsiderate, but I think that's like the most considerate thing ever, because that's literally saying, well, you are so competent of everything. And it's literally, if you give away your power to any label, then you become a victim, and you cannot be like the creator of your life and a manifester and be a victim to your circumstances at the same time. Like you can't be both. And so that's amazing that you've like taken that responsibility on each time. And part of the responsibility isn't it, like, isn't just being hard of yourself, like I'm responsible for being amazing. It's also like taking on the responsibility to give yourself time and patience and space, because sometimes for a lot of people that's harder and more uncomfortable than beating yourself up and being like, I should be doing that, I need to push myself. Sometimes the biggest challenge is actually saying, I'm okay, even if I feel like absolute shit today, that's okay, and I'm going to give myself the space, and I'm going to love myself, and I'm going to accept myself, even though I feel like I could be doing this or that or the other better. Mm-hmm. So I love that you've been able to do that, and so you're able to use the quote unquote labels or diagnosis, or you know, wherever anyone is in that stage, using it to your advantage rather than letting it tear you down, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Because if you let, so I used to do that when it would be more than one day of feeling low, for example, mm-hmm. I would let the guilt sit in, exactly what you're saying. Oh, but I should be doing this. I should be doing this. I should be doing this. And then you just end up in this complete negative pattern that doesn't go away. And that is not a great place for manifesting at all. So mm-hmm. If I could give a tip to anyone, it's let yourself feel that, take the time. If it takes a day, if it takes 2 days, there's no time limit. I'm just giving the limits that happen in my life. You know, there are no time limits. Everyone's brain is different, as you said. Like, take the time, let yourself feel it, forgive yourself, and then move on. Don't get stuck in the guilt, because once you let guilt in, it just builds and builds and builds and builds.
Yeah. The guilt, I think, is worse than any problem that you could ever be facing. And I've, as you said, like seen that progression in you, which I think is amazing. And it's so nice to see how you are able to move through it a lot quicker now. And I think that's, I don't want to say it's the goal, but I think that's the direction that healing usually happens. It's not, sometimes we think that we should just never experience the thing again that we're trying to improve on. But I think generally what actually happens and the way that our bodies need to heal is by re-experiencing it. But you either have, it gets less intense every time, and or you move through it quicker every time. What I've seen with you as well, and experienced with myself, and also seen with a lot of clients, is that the more that you keep loving yourself, despite how imperfect you feel, and the more patience and compassion you give yourself in those low moments, the more that you actually naturally are like, you naturally rise to the standards that you wanted to push yourself to. And the more that you try to push and force yourself to meet those standards and to get over it within that time frame and to be consistent or whatever, that actually you just get further and further away from it, the more that you try to push yourself into it, and the more that you just surrender to whatever is there in the present moment with patience and compassion, the faster it unravels for you.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I think that the story that I have that relates to that is that I wanted to quit my quote unquote normal job for such a long time. Normal job, muggle job, as I call it. And I put it off for such a long time because this might happen and that might happen and the other thing might happen and I might not be able to pay my bills. I might not be able to do that. So I did that at the end of August. I deliberately took September to give myself time and space to work on myself and to figure out my exact goals. We're now in November, and in the last 2 months, I have made more money than I've made in the last 2 years.
Wow.
In per month, I should say, not overall.
Nearly soon.
Nearly soon. And that is because I surrendered. I knew it was the right thing for me to do instead of panicking, putting it off. And then I just took the leap, and then I took that time in September, no matter how much I was panicking, to be patient, to manifest and build.
What would you say, like, when you was in that, those fears of like, what if I don't find something out, what if I can't pay my job, pay my bills or whatever, when you was in those like fears and the like mind chatter, did you know that you actually needed to surrender and trust and like do the uncomfortable scary thing? Did you consciously know that but still have the fears coming up, or did you not know what the solution was?
No, I knew that the fears were there, and I knew I needed to surrender. But like I said before, referring to the previous question, if I don't acknowledge those fears and then work through them, there is no way of surrendering to them, because like I said, it just builds and builds and builds. And I find with my ADHD that once you get a thought and you let it spiral, that's the end of it. It just keeps going. So you have to surrender.
Yeah. And you want to kind of get control over the thought. And sometimes I feel like it's like the anxiety is like, no, but I'm fixing the problem. I'm like finding the solutions and thinking of every problem, but actually like that's never going to happen. But yeah, speaking to people, I know that a lot of people kind of get caught in that like valley of like knowing that they want to trust the universe or they want to do the scary thing. Like they know what they should be doing, but they don't know how to cross over from that space of being feeling kind of paralyzed in the fear and uncertainty and like, yeah, just being scared to take that leap and trust. Obviously, I recommend a lot of things to people and a lot of different healing steps like tapping and, you know, having like practices that are going to connect you into your power that you can do each day, like, you know, gratitude and like connecting with God or the universe and things like that. But I'd love to hear like what would be like your advice to anyone who's kind of stuck in that like place of knowing what they need to do but feeling stuck in fear to actually act on it.
Yeah, so I think that again, when we talked about TikTok before, there are a lot of things that you can do, and on TikTok
all there at your fingertips these days.
But I feel like it can be very overwhelming, and sometimes you can have guilt about not having the right spiritual practice. So it's oh, I should be meditating, I should be journaling, I should be doing all of these things. There is no right answer. For myself, it's gratitude. The second I open my eyes, before I look at my phone, before I do anything, three things that I'm grateful for. If I'm feeling particularly down, three things that I can see in the room that I'm grateful for: my bed, my silk pillowcases, you know, even starting with the small little things and then building from there. The biggest things for me are I like to do yoga and Pilates. They really help me to connect to my body and build up the dopamine that I'm deficient of. And then as soon as I finish with my yoga or Pilates, I go straight into meditation. And I've already built up that dopamine, that good feeling in my body. I'm already in that place to go into that, normally a manifested meditation or a self-love meditation, normally guided, because otherwise my brain just goes on its own tangent. So guided meditations have really helped for me. So the main things, in short, guided meditation, yoga and Pilates, and gratitude are the main things for myself.
That's amazing. One last thing I wanted to say as well, just something that you made me think of earlier, was the importance of having people who can understand you around. So you talked about kind of those intensities of how it literally feels like the world is ending when you're in those low moments, which I can definitely relate to. And you know, I've spoke to so many people who, you know, have that same experience. But then, as you said, you can speak to a very neurotypical person that's just cannot get what you're talking about, and they probably think you're like the biggest drama queen or whatever. And the thing is that that's also not their fault, obviously, because it's like if somebody was trying to explain to you a color that you had never seen, your brain doesn't have any ability to conceive of what this color would be like. You cannot empathize or like get on board with like, oh yeah, I love that color too. And so that person, if they literally do not have the same capacity to reach the same lows as you or to reach the same highs as you, they're going to be very limited in the support and compassion and patience that they're going to be able to give you with that. Just like if you want to feel more confident or normalized in the way you look, then you want to look for other people who have those same things. So if you're like maybe a very petite, very small, very skinny, like blonde girl, and like everyone on your Instagram page is like a really curvy, like tan brunette, you're gonna always feel out of place, or like you're too much or you're too little or whatever it is. And so you really, I think it's really important to actively search out community that can relate to you, so that you can feel that sense of connection, and you're going to be able to support other people in their ups and downs, and they can support you and have the understanding to support you in that as well. And I think, yeah, I'm really glad that we are able to do that for each other as well, because we're able to be very patient with each other because we understand how it is.
Yeah, I think it's very important. You and I have often said, when we've spoken on the phone for 2 hours at a time about a subject that turns into 10 subjects, just having someone there that knows that. I mean, the other day, for example, all I wanted to eat in the morning when I was feeling a little bit low was avocado toast, and I could not get avocado toast anywhere. And at that time, that really upset me. And right now, I understand that sounds absolutely ridiculous, but I'm texting Minnie saying, I cannot get this avocado toast. All I want is avocado toast. And she's texting me back with the most supportive text, you know, not making me feel like I'm crazy, or not making me feel like avocados are not important, because they were important to me right then.
Yes, exactly. So I feel like if you listen to this whole podcast, like at this point, you probably either are neurodivergent, or you have a diagnosis, or you just feel like you really resonate with that experience. So if, like, just have it, like, think in your mind right now of like who is that person, or those couple of people, even better, that like you can go to in those moments and just say, hey, I just want support right now, you know, I don't need any advice or whatever, but I just would like some support or some validation or someone to listen to me in this. And that you can get that, and it doesn't mean that you can't have other people in your life, but you just need to know what person is right for which event. So there's other people that I would not text them to say, I'm really upset about this avocado, because they're not going to get it, you know? And then there's going to be other people that you're going to go to for those moments. So I think just not expecting everyone to be everything for you as well. Like if there's a person in your life who you have a great time going to dance classes with, but they can't understand and hold you in your lowest moments, that's okay. And you just need to know that proactively, so, and make sure that you have other people in your life that can fulfill that space.
And honestly, TikTok is so helpful. There are so many people sharing their experiences post-diagnosis. I went on a complete doom scroll for at least, you know, 2 weeks of scrolling, finding other people, and I resonated with some of that so much, and was able to learn a lot about myself just from things like that as well. So again, what you were saying about community, you're not necessarily speaking to them one-on-one, but it's still something that makes you feel seen and heard.
Yeah, and so we talked overall in this podcast about quite a few of the strengths, and that is gonna like help you to be even more spiritually connected. And I always kind of use the metaphor of like those neurodiverse people, those very spiritual people, you just kind of have some extra doors open in your brain that other people don't have access to. And so that's going to give you a whole lot of depth in your spiritual practice and a lot of manifestation power. And we also talked about a lot of the weaknesses, like maybe you feel like it's hard for you to stay consistent with things, and you feel like, oh, this person said that I need to be like consistently manifesting it every day for it to work, or, you know, you can't focus, or you can't visualize it correctly, or whatever it is. And we kind of talked about just like the acceptance and the getting to know yourself. And I always say, approach everything in life, and especially spirituality and manifestation, like a science experiment. So every single time you're just gathering data of what works, what doesn't work, what can you tweak. And that's like, when something doesn't work in a science experiment, it's not a failure. It's just more information to take forward to the inevitable successful end. The one other thing that you have done, as you said, that you didn't want to take medication at this time, or that wasn't your intention, but you have also found a lot of natural supplements that have been really helpful for you.
Yeah.
Do you like, could you just share a little bit of your experience with that, or if you know, like what if anyone was interested in like using supplements,
Yeah.
what would you say to them?
Yeah. So we started off with ashwagandha on its own. I noticed an immediate improvement in my focus, but it wasn't helping very much with things like emotional dysregulation. So after about 3 months of that, I decided to add some other things in. So I currently take ashwagandha, lion's mane, mushroom, magnesium, omega 3, 6, and 9, in liquid form, and L-tyrosine. I believe from what I've researched, L-tyrosine is actually in ADHD, is one of the components that's in ADHD medication. One of the things I'm renowned for is taking naps when I'm overwhelmed or when I'm tired. I like to take naps. I'm not going to say I haven't taken any naps because that would be a lie, but I've taken way less naps and gotten way more done since taking these supplements. And then I just take them with the usual, especially this time of year. Vitamin D. We all need that vitamin D when the nights get darker and colder. Yeah, so that's kind of where I'm at with that. A bit of everything.
Amazing. I think it's great to see how there are these natural options that can be really supportive of you being your best version of you and working with your brain. And yeah, I guess I just want to say as we wrap up that my typical slogan is like, your kryptonite is your superpower. And however your brain functions, I truly believe that is exactly the way that your brain needed to be set up for you to achieve whatever your pre-birth intentions were for coming into this life. And that's my spiritual side. And then on the kind of masculine side, keep experimenting and being a scientist and collecting data to find out what works for your brain so you can optimize your life to feel the best that it can possibly feel.
Yeah.
Any final words from you, Hannah?
Be patient, trust yourself, feel the feelings, and just, yeah, believe in yourself. That's it.
Amazing. Thank you so much for sharing your experience, Hannah. It's been a pleasure. I mean, like, I don't talk to you enough. Like, me and this girl are literally on the phone 24/7. But yeah, I hope that this has been helpful for some people. And if you have any personal experiences with this, or you try any things that we talked about today on the podcast, please let me know over on Instagram. You can send me a DM at Manifest with Minnie. And if you do know anyone who has ADHD or is neurodivergent and you think this would be helpful for them, please do share it. And I'll see you in the next podcast.